So this is the seventh Sunday of Easter. It's also the 40th day of Easter, and therefore is the Sunday that we celebrate the ascension of Jesus. Well, Thursday, May 18th is actually Ascension Day, and it probably came and went for most of us without any noticeable distinction that might set it apart from any other day of the week. Most of us probably went about our day Thursday without any conscious thought concerning the spiritual significance of the day. But last Thursday was, in fact, Ascension Day. It's a day of great significance in all of Christendom. It's the 40th day of Easter, making it the day in which our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, leaving his disciples in a state of awe as they watched his ascent from the hill called the Mount of Olives, just outside of Jerusalem. They watched him ascend into the heavens and disappear into the clouds. And so, as is the tradition of the church, we celebrate Ascension Day on the Sunday that follows Ascension Day, the Sunday before Pentecost Sunday, which is on the 28th. Make sure you wear your red. Luke writes of Jesus' ascension in two places in his gospel account. One in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, but then also in the passage that Cindy read this morning from the book of Acts. Acts 1, 6 through 9 talks about the ascension of Jesus. Luke writes, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?' And Jesus replied, 'It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" That, spoken from Jesus to the disciples, continues to be your mandate as the church, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. That covers a lot of ground, the entire globe. To cover the globe, you need a global church, and that is what we are. Verse 9, "When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight." See, it's a wonder we tend to pay so little attention to Ascension Day in the church. And I don't mean to imply that we ignore it altogether, but rather that we don't spend as much time discussing the great spiritual significance of the Ascension as we probably should. We mention the Ascension when we say the Apostles' Creed, which we'll do a little bit later on. We say, "He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty." Maybe we might say the Nicene Creed, Bobby. Occasionally we do that just to throw a curveball and make sure we have the right slides put up on the PowerPoint. That's the only reason we do it. But the Nicene Creed is just a version of that. "He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father." But do we really pause for very long at all and talk about what that means? Why the ascension had to take place? How does it apply to our everyday walk through life? What does it matter that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated even now at the right hand of God? What does that mean for us? Now, I think sometimes it's good for us to take a look at our faith, to look at what we believe from the perspective of our long-standing tradition as Methodists, as Wesleyan Christians. Our Methodist roots run deep. Wesleyan theology, the study of God from the tradition which began with the Reformation brought about by John and Charles Wesley back in the 1700s. And so I thought it would be interesting to look at the Ascension from the writings that helped to form what we now call the Global Methodist Church. Many hundreds of years of tradition that fully embraces 2,000 plus years of the apostles' teaching. What's the Methodist viewpoint regarding the Ascension? Now, historically, John Wesley was careful to include in his teachings language of the Ascension. It's mentioned in the Articles of Religion of the Methodist Church. If you were to look at the articles, you would find that Article 3 states, "He ascended into heaven and there sitteth until he return to judge all men and women at the last day." And then Charles Wesley, best known for his hymn writing, he wrote several hymns that specifically emphasize the importance of the Ascension in our faith, to who we are as Christ followers. There's one in particular, if you've been a Methodist for any length of time at all, called "Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise." And the hymn begins with a verse that speaks of Jesus' ministry on earth coming to a close as he returns to his rightful place in heaven. And the verse affirms his divine origin and the retaking of his throne and ascending into his full authority. Listen to this verse. It says, "Hail the day that sees him rise. To his throne above the skies, Christ, a while to mortals given, reascends his native heaven." In verse 2, Charles continues in this theme of authority and kingship, emphasizing that Jesus is, in the Ascension, assuming the reign of his kingdom. See, he didn't abdicate the throne while he was born in a manger and did ministry on earth. But he did give up his divinity to become human, just like you and me. And then when the work of salvation was finished, he reassumed his throne at the right hand of God to continue to govern the world within the perfect will of God the Father. Listen to the second verse. "There the glorious triumph waits. Lift your heads, eternal gates. Christ hath conquered death and sin. Take the King of glory in." Gotta love Charles Wesley. While we acknowledge his kingship and his authority, we have to know that his ascension does not mean that he left us behind. Let me say that again. His ascension does not mean that he left us behind. From his position at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus reigns supreme over all the earth and works for us as our advocate, claiming us as his own, loving us as gifts to him from God the Father. Did you know that you were a present, a gift given to Jesus by God the Father? You, individually, by name. Here's Brenda, my gift to you. Here, Jesus, here's Cindy, my gift to you. By name, God gave you to Jesus. He loved you so much that he gave you to Jesus, and he did that by giving Jesus to the whole world on the cross and in the grave. And by the resurrection. Now, Wesley's hymn in verse 3 talks about Jesus still being, after the ascension, in relationship with us. even as he sits on his throne in heaven. See the heaven its Lord receives, yet he loves the earth he leaves. Though returning to his throne, still he calls the world his own. Isn't that a great image? It's never the intention to abandon the people of God. Through the ascension or at any other time, the people of God belong to Jesus. Jesus is still Lord of all the earth. Jesus is still King. He will forever be our Savior. He will forever keep the marks of his crucifixion as a reminder to all of us that his work on the cross was for our salvation. They're not merely scars and wounds. They're marks of honor and glory. Isaiah the prophet in the 53rd chapter, verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, we are healed." Isn't that wonderful? Can you wrap your human brain around such a magnificent spiritual truth that Jesus died for you personally? And so the final verse of Wesley's hymn reminds us that we as the church have an eternal appointment after we fulfill our mission and our ministry here on earth, that by our confession of faith in him as Lord and Savior, we are all blessed. Listen to this verse. See, he lifts his hands above. See, he shows the Prince of Love. Hark, his gracious lips bestow blessings on his church below. You see, God is not a stranger to the struggles that we endure on earth. He sent his son engaged in all the things that have been difficult in our human experience. Jesus knows your struggle. And when he ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, he is there as your advocate and daily, minutely, moment by moment, as needed, he leans over into the Father's ear and he whispers words of love and affirmation for you, personally, individually. And so as Jesus reigns from his throne in heaven, we can rejoice that he is there as our advocate. We can depend on his continued involvement and relationship with us in real and tangible ways. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, who he sent by the Father and the Son. And we can be assured that our belief in him and on him means that one day we will be there in heaven with him to live with him forever. But in the meantime, the Holy Spirit, who he sent, dwells in you as a believer, so that you do not have to walk this journey called life alone. So, one final thought as we close the message this morning. Once the ministry of Jesus on earth was complete, once the work on the cross and in the grave was finished, the ascension was necessary. Jesus had to ascend to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come and dwell not just with, but in believers. Jesus had to ascend so that the Holy Spirit could come on the day of Pentecost, which we will celebrate next Sunday. Jesus had to ascend so that the rest of the unsaved world could have the opportunity to receive the gospel through the ongoing mission and ministry of the church. The church which is launched on Pentecost. See, Jesus ascended in short so that you as the church, the body of Christ, could go out into the world led by the Holy Spirit and tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So that the whole world, starting with your family and then your community, might join the family of God and not perish into the eternal separation from God we call hell. I know that's an inconvenient truth, isn't it? Trust me, there are churches all over this city right now who are teaching half the gospel about friendly Jesus, meek and mild, who came to save us. Save us from what? Oh, let's not talk about that. Save us from the wrath of a holy and just God who cannot abide sin. See, the ongoing missional work of the ministers of the faith, that's you, is what we are all about as the church. So we read the rest of the passage from Acts. We read, when Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you saw him go." So we can stand here, and we should for a moment, looking at the ascension, just for a while. But when all is said and done, we need to bring our vision back down to earth and get on with the mission of the church. And the mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, who worship passionately, who love extravagantly, and who witness boldly. As we're reminded, we need to have a sense of urgency in our mission, because he is coming back, and we want as many as possible to be ready. We want as many as possible to be saved. And so as you minister to your family and your extended family and then your community, your circle of influence, you never know what an impact you will have on the kingdom just by planting a seed. You may never see it until you get to heaven. The result of the seed that you plant today. But one thing is certain. Obedience to the missional mindset, the missio Dei, the sending of God, obedience to that mission produces fruit that saves people. Your obedience to the mission, go and make disciples. Your obedience to that command from Jesus produces fruit that saves souls. See, the ascension is important. We should talk about it. That the Holy Spirit could come, that the church might be born, that souls might be saved, that the world might be transformed. Who will you tell the message of salvation this week? Don't hide it under the bushel basket. Don't hide it under the bucket. Put it on the lampstand of your life, and let that message shine so that everyone sees it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, let's go. go ahead and stand and